It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Joshua. We're in the last chapter of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. We're going to begin reading down with the sixth verse today. And so please that you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, and we'll begin with the sixth verse. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Malt. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study, because a lot of the study today is going to be some sweet reading of the Word of God. We're going to read just a few verses, because we'll be reading the rest of the verses of the chapter through the study. And so once again, Joshua chapter 24, we're going to begin reading with the sixth verse. "And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwell in the wilderness a long season. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you." We're going to stop there with the reading. We just read through down through the eighth verse. We'll begin with prayer, and then we'll start the study. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time. Please that you open our eyes and our hearts and just show us your way and will. I've so enjoyed this study of Joshua, and I hope, Father, that all that have listened have enjoyed it, but I hope that they have come to know you as their Savior. They've trusted in your Son as he died upon the cross of Calvary and rose again, and he believes, Father, that they believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus, that he saved them. He took their sin away, and that he not only died for them and took their sin away, but he also rose again. Oh, Father, what a wonderful day to serve and praise you, dear Father, and your Son, as he has raised from the dead to bring us life, and he is alive today. We serve a living Savior. Thank you, Father. And now please grow us, show us your way and will, and we praise and honor you for this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This study of the 24th chapter is that it's kind of Joshua's last statement to the people, and he is there to remind them, and we need to be reminded the same thing, how great works the Lord does for us. And I just have to begin at the first of the chapter there. Joshua gathers up in Shechem all these elders and the heads and their judges and their officers, and they present themselves before God, and Joshua begins, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel," in the second verse. And he starts, "Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old times." And we know that when he says the other side of the flood, it's not the flood that we think of with Noah. It is on the other side of the river, which we have the Euphrates and the Tigris River in that area, because we find Terah and Abraham, Nahor, they served other gods. And we talked about that last time we were together, how that Abraham was not saved and living in all this ungodliness with all the idol worship and everything. God called him. He accepted Jesus as a Savior, even though it was many, many years before Jesus even went to the cross. But by faith, he believed, and he trusted what God was going to do and the promises that God made concerning this great nation, Israel. And so in that believing that promise, he left his home, he left his family, and he come all the way over to a promised land, a land that God had said he would give him and his people. Abraham and Sarah at that time had no children, And yet he promised him that his descendants, you'll never be able to count them. The stars of the sky, the sand of the sea, you can't count them. They're going to be so many. And so Abraham believed that, even though it was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 when that promise was fulfilled. God's promise is always good and always true. And so it begins there, and then it starts, and, you know, I took the father Abraham, verse 3, I gave unto Isaac, which was Abraham and Sarah's son, to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I gave to Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob, to his and his children, they went down into Egypt. And so we find that and then God sent a deliverer, which was Moses, in the fifth verse. And we find that he says, again, verse 3, if you look at the beginning, and I, and verse 4, and I, and then in verse 4 again, and I gave, and then in verse 5, I sent, and then in verse 5, I plagued, and verse 5, I did, and verse 5, I brought, and now to verse 6, and I brought, and as we look at this sixth verse, because the rest of it we've kind of already studied, and the I there is not Joshua. Joshua's not talking about himself. Joshua's talking about what God had done, the deliverance that the Lord has given. And so, and again, he says, and we know that, because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, up in verse 2, so it's just like Joshua is using the words as if God was speaking. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. So not only did he bring them from Ur of Chaldees, where Abraham was, but also he has brought them over and brought them into Egypt for a reason. Now he's brought them out of Egypt. I've delivered them out of Egypt. And it's a wonderful lesson here. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Ye came unto the sea. The Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, when they cried unto him, and Joshua kind of goes back and forth with being first person here. And when they cried, when all Israel cried unto him, he, God, put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. And ye dwell in the wilderness a long season. Well, in that season, all the things that God showed them during that time was the manna. We have the wonderful food that was given. They watched God deliver them water. They watched the Shekinah glory cloud as it led through the day and fire by night. They witnessed all that during this the wilderness journey, which was the 40 years that everybody you hear about. And so now all this has taken place. God has done all this for you. And now, in verse 8, I brought you into the land of the Amorites that dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them unto your hand, that ye might possess their land. I destroyed them from before you. He, Joshua, is telling so clearly what God, Jehovah, has done for this nation of Israel. And there is no question about it. And we need to see that we understand and we praise the Lord and we know that he is so powerful. And if he could do this for the nation of Israel, there is nothing that he will not do for you. But it is all for his honor and glory. The purpose of the nation of Israel was that the nation of Israel is God's people, and not only God's people, but God's proclaimers. Israel, from the start, was to be the ones that brought Jehovah to the world. They were not to keep Jehovah for themselves and demand that everyone turn into their religion in order to know Jehovah, which was what you did at that time, yes, because it was the only way to portray the cross of Calvary and what our Lord was going to do. So they would come to do that, but it become a tradition and become a religion, and instead of God himself and this God's people. They got into all kinds of trouble because it's not long that they get beyond the judges and then they get on into the kings. God never intended that because he wanted to lead them. It wanted to be God's people. And it's the same with the church. You know, today, why we're more wrapped up in the doctrines of the church, of the religion that we're a part of, than we are in the living God. And we need to see that we get away from that we leave those times and we come and we serve. And the only way we're going to do that is to not decide the philosophies of man to control us, but the Word of God, the living Word of God. And if we go to the Word of God, we will find salvation through the Lord Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and then we have the great teacher to teach us his Word. And oh, now the walk and the life and all that just begins. And so what a wonderful, wonderful day to serve and to walk after the Lord Jesus. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you have the teacher within you to show you his Word. If you do not know Jesus, if you've ignored that personal relationship, then my friend, you're out in the cold. You can't, you know, you think, I don't believe that, Larry. Well, you probably don't, because you have missed the most important step, and that's salvation. And then life begins at that time. So once again, we look at all these things that I destroyed them from before you. And now we come to verse 9, and Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. Just continues. You went over the Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I delivered them into your hand, all of them. I delivered them into your hand. And so he comes, he brings them across, and of course he doesn't speak here of how that he parted the Jordan River. It was flood time. And God divided the Jordan River so that they could come across on dry land, just like they did across the sea. You know, it didn't, each time, it's a wonderful miracle. And Joshua is reminding these people of the great miracles. And look at how he come, and you never raised a hand to have the walls of Jericho fall. And it was a mighty city. All the cities were mighty. And then it lists all of them here. And fought against the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And I delivered them unto your hand. I gave them to you. I sent hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. Ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards, the olive yards, which ye planted not, do you eat. Look at all the blessings that I have given you, God is saying. And Joshua wants to remind them, and we need to be reminded ourselves how great our God is. And we need to praise him and worship him and honor him in all that we do. Oh, please do not forget what our God has done. And now we come to verse 24. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Oh, that should be the name that should be on the front of every church building. And every time a member of that church walks into that church, should look up at those words and says, now therefore fear the Lord. And that is a great reverence, a great respect, and serve him in sincerity, serve him with all your heart, and serve him in truth. And the only way that we can serve him in truth is to know the Word of God. That way we'll know his will, and we can serve him and praise him. And so we need to do that. Now, in order to do that, something has to be done, because there's already a problem with the nation of Israel. And there's already a problem with us, and that is that we have other gods. And it could be the same gods, the same things, the world, money, things that just possess all your time. You know, many times, well, that's what my dad did, so that's what I do. Maybe that's the reason you go to the church you go to, because that's where your dad went, that's where your mom went, and so that's where you go. Well, that's just fine if the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached there, but if it is not, I'm going to ask you to get out. I'm going to ask you to leave that church. Before you leave that church, go to the preacher of that church, and you ask if why they do not preach the gospel, if the gospel is not preached. I hope it is. But if it is not preached, then you need to ask, why don't you preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Why don't you tell us that we need to have a personal relationship with the living Savior? Why don't you tell us that so that we can be saved and then begin the walk and the studying of the Word? Why don't you tell us that? And in most cases, they say, well, that's something that they used to do, but we really don't dwell on that. We dwell more on the social issues of the world today so that we can help feed the poor and all those things. Feed the poor? You're sending everybody to hell. You're really signing the seal that says, to hell you go. If you don't preach, or if you don't preach the gospel, and my friend, if you're in a church that doesn't preach the gospel and they don't want to, then please get out and find one that does. Just find a place that proclaims the truth. I just ask you that you do that. Now, what he's doing here, he is saying, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. You know, same situation here on the other side, back in Ur of Chaldees, where Abraham came from. Also in Egypt, because Egypt had just as many gods. They did not serve one true God, Jehovah. Did not accept this salvation that was coming. They did not receive that. But he's asking, Joshua, saying, you need to get rid of the gods that your fathers had. You need to get rid of the gods that you had in Egypt, and you need to serve the Lord. Now look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. If you don't want to, then you decide. You make a decision. And sad to say, today, many have made the wrong decision, and they're serving the gods of this world and this land, and they're forsaking the true God, the only God that can give them salvation and joy and peace and power. The only one, they're forsaking them. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, in other words, in Egypt and in the land of Ur of Chaldees, and also even back in the land of Canaan that they're dwelling in, and we're going to deal with that in a second. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. See, Joshua's covering it all. We have got to get rid of them. We have to. We must. We must get rid of all these gods, all these statues. And today we've kind of left those. We don't really, you know, we don't put $100 bill up and bronze it and then bow down to it. But it does consume our time. You know, we need to see that the time needs to be spent in serving God and praising God and honoring God, and not in serving and honoring this world and the things of this world and the gods of this world. That's what Satan wants us to do. And you see, there are only two. I mean, we have many gods here. Joshua just listed the ones of Ur of Chaldees. He's listed the ones in Egypt, and now he's listing the ones in the land of Canaan. He lists all those, but it really boils down to just one God that is the wrong God, and that's the devil himself. Now, all these gods, everything that people worship is devil-driven. And so if you are not serving Jehovah, if you refuse to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, then your God is the devil. Now you say, oh no, I don't even believe in a devil. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your God is the devil, and my God is Jehovah, the maker of this world, the creator of the universe, the savior of my life. That's who I serve, praise, and honor. And so you have a choice to make, and Joshua's calling on the people to make that choice. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, who the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, what a great day. Joshua didn't care what the people did, but he said, for me and for my house. Now, so many times, and parents, if you're to that place, you know, I go to this church, but I have not required my children to go. I have not, let them make their own decision up. I made my decision. I want my children to make their decision. My dear friend, if you're a parent and you've got that philosophy, that's a sad, sick philosophy, because it's your responsibility to teach your children the ways of God. If you're going to take the Word of God and teach them, they're going to be raised up in the truth, and they're going to do what's right. Oh, they may go away for a season, but we pray that they return, and they will come back, and they will serve and honor and fear God all of their life. There is nothing greater and nothing that will bring more happiness to you as a parent than raising your children. Don't say, you make your choice. If you want to go to this cult or this religion or go here, you do what you want to do, and that'll be just fine with me. You're a sad, sick parent if you do that. Joshua did not say that. Now, I have checked with all of my family, and my family, we have voted that half of us are going to go this way. They're going to worship the gods of the land, and then the other half are going to go back and worship where Abraham came from, and then there's others here that's going to go back to Egypt because they love the gods of Egypt. Joshua didn't say that. Joshua never asked his family. Joshua said, for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. Now, were part of them family members rebellious at some point in time? Probably. But Joshua stood proper and stood right. And he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, there's a leader. There's a leader that God is proud of. There's a leader that brings honor and glory unto God. If you have done anything less than stood up and led your family unto the Lord Jesus Christ and then on into service, if you've done anything less than that, you are not bringing glory unto God. You're bringing shame unto God. And so please, and especially if you're a believer, please, please, study the Word of God, search the Word of God. There's only one Bible, and you need to go to it and search it and study it and look to it. You know, my dear friend, that I stay with the King James. I don't go with the others. There's several out there. Why change? I don't want to leisurely read the Word of God. I study the Word of God. And these words here give me no problems whatsoever. I love the Word of God. I love studying it, and I'm not looking for every little version that comes out. Oh, that's easier to read. Maybe my children will understand it. So you give them a something smaller. No, give them the old King James Bible and let them study it and search it and read it and grow in it. Please, dear Lord, I just pray to our God that you do that. And I just ask continually that parents will bring their children up knowing, praising, and honoring the Lord. And here he calls and he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now look what the people's answer was. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Oh, what wonderful words that has come. We will serve the Lord, all the people said. The problem is that they won't. They didn't. They didn't get rid of the gods. They didn't get rid of the people that served other gods that lived among them. They got rid of some of them, but not all of them. God said get rid of all of them because he knew the temptation to serve other gods. Oh, devil is always right there and pushing and showing. And it's not very long that the people begin to worship the gods of that land. They begin to intermarry within the people of that land. And God said no to that. And it's so sad that we see this. But here they said, oh, we will. We will. But they didn't. They didn't. Now Joshua continues here and said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. You see, Joshua didn't know so much about the people as God did. And Joshua, being a believer, God gave him wisdom, and he showed him that don't believe what they're telling you because they're liars. And so he comes back almost immediately here. He says, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. He has done you so many things. He has given you so many blessings. And yet what you are going to do is walk away from him. Look at their answer. The people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Now you see what's happened? They had the right heart. But what happened, they didn't stay with the Word of God. They didn't stay with the truth. They didn't listen. Their eyes were like Lot. They begin to look at the land. They begin to look at these idols. They begin to look at the people. And they begin to turn away from God. And they did it very, very quickly. Now, it started here correctly. And they had the right thought. They said the right words. But the rest of this chapter, and we'll get to it next time we come together, because there's too much here to put together, and plus we have the death of Joshua, we have the burial of Joseph, and we have the death of Eliezer. And so those things we're going to deal with the next time when we come together, and we'll close out the book of Joshua the next time. But please, as you look, I ask you to go and look at all the blessings that God had did for the city of the nation of Israel. From the beginning of drawing out Abraham all the way to bringing them into the promised land and fighting every enemy that was there. He reminded them of all that. God had Joshua speak these words clearly as if God himself was speaking. And so he was. He was telling them. It was just word for word what God wanted to say to these people. He wanted to remind them how great of work had been done and how much he loved them and how much he had done for them. And then it comes because as we find back with Joshua, as he tells them, if it seemeth evil unto you to serve the Lord, that's verse 15. Now, Joshua must have had some questions in his mind. Joshua must have recognized that there was a lot of things going on that was not pleasing to God. And so if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, if there's a problem here, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites that's here, the gods in Egypt, whoever it is, and you just go serve them. I mean, if that's what you want to do. But for me and my house, I'm going to give the example. We are going to serve the Lord. And we'll be looking at that, enjoying that. Please, that you see very clearly the importance, father, grandfather, man, you be the leader. We are to be the leaders. We are to teach our families the Word of God. We're to be the leader to bring them into the house of God. You say, well, my wife won't let me do that. She wants to go to the other church. Stand up. Stand for the Lord. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and then lead your family. Be a Joshua. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?